the subject of Shavuot. This week is why the disciples waited, and next week it's Israel and the nations. And I think you'll find them both interesting. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Let's begin why the disciples waited. Okay. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Everybody hear okay here? Everybody's hearing? Anybody? See, my ear's a little clogged, so I'm not hearing as regularly. I just want to make sure that that's my problem and not yours. All right. Acts 1, verse 4. It says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John immersed with water, but in a few days you will be immersed with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of the few places where Yeshua talks to the disciples about waiting for something. And specifically, he says four things in this particular verse that we just read. Number one, he tells his disciples to stay in Jerusalem. The second thing he tells them is to wait there until they receive the gift from the Father. And then he mentions that John immersed with water, but then they will shortly be immersed with the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to spend a bit of time today talking about immersion, both with water and with the Holy Spirit. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of what that really means, and we're going to examine it from the Scriptures and from its historical background so you understand what really was happening here with these immersions. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 3, because Yeshua says something interesting here. He said in Acts, even though we're going back to Matthew 3, he said that John immersed with water, but shortly you will be immersed with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a comment that only John used earlier. John was the one who said before Yeshua that he was coming to immerse with water, and then one who's greater than I will come and he will immerse with the Holy Spirit. So now Yeshua is referring back to this event that John's talking about. And so let's see what John's talking about in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. Let's see what he says. He says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So the first thing, John introduces himself by preaching this message of repentance and then basically says that the kingdom of heaven is near, or the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's ready to come about. Now, what is this kingdom that John was talking about? Now, we've talked about this a lot here, but I just want to go over quickly what this kingdom is all about. This kingdom is where God rules and reigns. And it really is a reflection of what the prophets talked about much earlier in the Scriptures. Basically, the prophet Isaiah talks about a time where God's presence is so pervasive throughout the earth, and his laws are so prominent in the earth that all of the disharmony in nature changes and becomes harmonious. It's hard to imagine. Remember, we talked about a few weeks ago, who was here to hear my message on the gnats? On the gnats. Okay, do you realize in the when God's presence is fully on this earth, gnats will not bother us anymore? You realize that? Because the disharmony in nature will be changed. Because the Scripture says in the book of Isaiah that the wolf is going to lie down with the lamb. Those things that are in nature that are in conflict with one another, because the presence of God will be so powerful on this earth, that things that are naturally in conflict with one another will become harmonious even in nature itself. It's a remarkable thing. And so what John is saying here is this. He's saying, look, you need to repent. You need to turn the direction of your life around, because this kingdom that the prophet Isaiah talks about is about ready to come onto this earth. And so it's such importance that you've got to change your ways. Now let's look in verse 11 as to how John suggests this come about. He says this, that I immerse, Matthew 3:11, that I immerse you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals that I am not fit to carry. He will immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, John is immersing the disciples, the people who come to him, anybody for that matter, for repentance. He immerses them in water for repentance. And the sign of repentance, certainly at that period of time, was a water cleansing. In other words, and it still is to this day, even in Jewish life today, the Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox, to show a cleansing or a repentance is that they go under a kind of immersion of sorts. It's called a mikvah. It's a little bit different than what John was doing, but it's similar in that they are immersed in water. And it shows an outward way of showing that there's been an inward change. There's a change of life and change of direction. Now, the reason that it was done then, and it's even done today in Jewish tradition, is for preparation for something to come. In other words, the Jewish people today, the Orthodox, immerse themselves because they're preparing themselves for the coming of the Messiah. That's one of the main reasons they do it. And the same thing that was what John was doing, was he knew the Messiah was at the door, about ready to enter, to reveal himself. And so he is undergoing people, he's putting people through immersion to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah and the advent of the kingdom of God. That's what it's really all about. And so, and when the advent occurs, and this is the key, is when God's people are immersed in the Holy Spirit. That is the sign of the advent of the kingdom of God. Because notice what John says. He says that I come to immerse you in water, but there's one that's greater than I who's coming to immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So the sign of the kingdom of God is the immersion in the Holy Spirit and in fire. That's the sign of the kingdom. Now, what is this immersion in the Spirit, or what we might call baptism in the Spirit? What's this all about? And I believe it has to be understood in the context and in the purposes of God. And it relates to extensive passages of prophecy in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. And let's look at a well-known passage here. We've read it a lot, Jeremiah 31. And let's see what's happening with this immersion in the Spirit and the advent of the kingdom of God. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. This is what it says. It says, the time is coming, Jeremiah 31, 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, this becomes an important statement with regard to Shavuot, because the first covenant was made with Israel at Shavuot at Mount Sinai. We're going to take a look at that in a minute. And we're going to see shortly that the second covenant, the new covenant, is also at Shavuot. But notice here what it says is that God is going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel specifically. And it's linked with the purposes of the old covenant. It's not completely separate. It's linked to it. Now let's see what happens. It says verse 32. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. So it's different than the old covenant. But then he says this, verse 33. This is the covenant, this is the new covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord, that I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So the difference is between the old and the new covenant is that the laws of God, which are still in operation now, are internalized into the hearts of those who believe, okay, those who follow the Lord. Prophet Ezekiel says this, there'll be a time when God's Spirit will come upon his people, the Jewish people, that will cause them to keep God's laws. So in other words, the immersion in the Spirit is the taking, or the new covenant, that is the taking of God's laws, which are on scrolls and stones, and placing them on the hearts of the believers, and then filling them with the Holy Spirit to cause them to keep God's ways. His Spirit will enable them to keep his ways. Verse 34, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. And so the next difference between the old and the new covenant is that the Scripture says all are going to know the Lord from the least to the greatest. So in other words, there's no longer going to be special classes like there were under the old covenant. The old covenant, there were special classes. They were the priests. They were the ones who were closest to the Lord. They were anointed by the Lord. They were the only ones that had access to the sanctuary. But now all will have access to the Lord from the least to the greatest. So that's the next change. And then the Scripture says that I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. In other words, sin will be permanently removed, and thus there will no longer be the need for sacrifices. Because if sin is removed, then why do you need a sacrifice, right? So in other words, something's going to happen that's going to remove the people's sins, that's going to cause the laws of God to internalize into the hearts of God's people, and that all people are going to come to know the Lord. That is the new covenant. That's the description of this new covenant. Then the next two verses that we're not going to read here deal with Israel's continuing existence as a nation, which becomes very important in God's plans. Now, knowing all this about the new covenant, let's examine how the old covenant was given, the Tanakh. And you're going to see some interesting parallels. Exodus 19. Somebody want to grab me a cup of water somewhere? So I'm losing my voice. Thank you. Yes. There's a thing of water behind me? Oh, okay. Is it polluted? Scripture says that you can eat poison and it will not harm you, right? So, I'm not too good at these things. Problem is, this is kind of a lip thing, isn't it? I think I'll wait for a cup. Praise God. Sorry. Just a little squeamish here. All right, Exodus 19. Exodus 19, verse 3. It says, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you're to say to the house of Jacob, and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the Lord had commanded them to speak. And the people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought back their answer to the Lord. Now, this is Moses on Mount Sinai. We all know that. This is where he gets ready to receive the law. And notice what he says in verse 5. He basically says, look, this. If you keep my covenant, and what covenant is that? It's the covenant that's about to be given. It's the covenant of Sinai, the Torah, the words of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, and all the things that go with it. He says, okay, this. If you keep my covenant, then what's the result? You will be for me a unique nation. And the uniqueness is this, which is described in verse 6. You'll be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. In other words, you will be the nation that will represent God's ways to all the other nations of the world, and then all the other nations of the world will come to know the living God through that individual nation. And then it says down here in verse 8 that the people said, we accept this agreement. We accept this covenant. We will do everything that the Lord has said. Okay, now, what we see next is the confirmation of the covenant. Look in verse 16, Exodus 19, 16. Let's see what happens. Exodus 19, 16. It says, on the morning of the third day. Now, it's interesting about this third day because the rabbis have calculated that this is actually Shavuot, that this is actually 50 days after Passover. Okay? And so, after the original Passover, 50 days later, on the third day, morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like the smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. And then Moses spoke, and the voice of the Lord answered him. Now let's look at the images here that are described in what this verse says. These verses say, number one, there's thunder, there's lightning, there's a loud trumpet blast, there's smoke, there's fire, the mountain shakes, and then God gives the commandments to Moses and to the people. Now, remember what John said about the immersion in the Spirit. He said that the one who is coming that is greater than I will immerse the people with the Spirit and with fire. Remember he said that. And remember what we're seeing on Mount Sinai. We're seeing the presence of the Lord, which is God's Spirit. The presence of the Lord is great on the mountain. No one can come into his presence. No one is allowed beyond the perimeter of the mountain, or otherwise they'd be struck down by the holiness of God. And so his presence is there, and there's fire there, and there's these loud sounds and so on. And basically what he's saying is this, is John is saying much later that he who is coming, who's greater than I, is going to immerse you with the Spirit and with fire, just like this fire that was on Mount Sinai. Now, the people said this here at Mount Sinai. They said that they would accept the covenant, and if they kept the covenant, then they would become the priestly nation. That was the deal that God made with them. But then we read in Jeremiah chapter 31, which is 800 years later, the prophet says that they broke the covenant. Remember? We read that before. They broke that covenant, which would mean likely what? If they broke the covenant, then that means what? They lose the status as the unique nation, right? But God said through the prophet Jeremiah, he says, however, I'm making a new covenant with the same group of people, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Okay? He's making a new covenant. So the question is, how and when does this new covenant occur? Now we go back to Acts. I'm not going to turn to it yet. I will in a minute. But this is where, after the resurrection, Yeshua tells the disciples to wait. That's where we were in Acts chapter 1 when we began here. Remember, he says to them to wait. And it's interesting because the disciples were already waiting. Why were the disciples waiting? Does anybody know why? Not for the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what was happening yet. Why? What's that? They were told to wait, but they were told to wait here. This is later. They were already waiting. They're waiting for Shavuot. They're already counting the Omer, right? According to the scriptures, you're to count the measure from Passover to Shavuot. So they're already waiting. There was an anticipation within Jewish life that something would happen on Shavuot, okay, from Passover to Shavuot. They didn't know what, but they did know from the prophet Joel, which was taught by the Jewish teachers of the time, that the Spirit of God would pour out on Shavuot. They knew that. They believed that. They just didn't know when that was going to happen, okay? And, of course, those who didn't believe in Yeshua didn't know it was connected with him. So they're already waiting. And he says for them, Yeshua says to the disciples that they're to wait for this gift. Now, what gift? He then says to them that they're going to be immersed with the Spirit, which is what he told them about earlier in his ministry. Now, what's interesting is that only in the Gospel of John does Yeshua ever describe what's going to happen to them with when they're immersed in the Spirit. It's the only time he ever really talks about the Holy Spirit and what it all means. So let's turn to the Gospel of John and see what he says. John 14. Because Yeshua is saying here in Acts that I told you about this. So let's see what he said. John 14, verse 15. John 14, 15. Now he starts this by saying this. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Now this is how he begins this whole thing about the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that sound similar to anybody? Anybody, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What does that sound similar to? That if you keep my covenant, then you'll be my priestly nation, right? In other words, it's the same thing. He's talking about very similar things here. If you love me, if you keep my commandments, then this is what's going to happen for you. Okay, and then let's see what it says. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, it's very interesting how Yeshua describes the Holy Spirit. He describes the Spirit here as a counselor and as the Spirit of truth. Now, I wonder why he would describe him that way. And the reason is, remember, is that part of the new covenant was that the laws would become internalized into the hearts of the believers. And the reason that they failed in the old covenant was they did not keep God's commandments. They did not keep God's laws. Now, Yeshua is saying is that they're going to be given a counselor, the Spirit of truth. Now, for what purpose? Let's see in verse 26. Verse 26 says, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Now, why does that need to happen? You know, what's the importance about that statement? Well, first of all, is that when Yeshua came, he came to distinguish between what was being taught by many of the other rabbis and what was the truth. The people were confused. They were following a lot of different kind of leaders. And so everybody was trying to follow God in kind of their own way. Yeshua was saying, no, this is the way, and he explained it very clearly. So now the disciples who were followers of Yeshua, they knew Yeshua's commandments, but they could be like anybody else in being a follower of any other great rabbi. If the Messiah leaves or if the great rabbi leaves, and they're going to just try to follow his commandments. But in this case, because he's the Messiah, when they're immersed in the Spirit, then the Spirit will come into them and will remind them of everything that he taught them and will guide them into all truth so that they will keep the commandments of the Lord. That is the point of it. Now, what does this sound like? What is this all about? Remember Jeremiah 31, we already talked about it. The laws will be in you. In other words, this is the new covenant. The new covenant is God's Spirit will be in you, and you'll know the truth, and you'll know God's ways. See, anybody that has the Holy Spirit, anybody that knows Yeshua as the Messiah and has the Holy Spirit, can know God's ways all the time. You can always know God's ways because the Spirit of God is in you. That's the promise. Turn with me to John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. It says this. Again, about the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is good for you that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, how is the Holy Spirit going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? How is he going to do that? And the answer is real simple. He does it when the disciples of Yeshua, those who are carrying the new covenant, go forth to the world as the priestly nation and tell them what? God's ways. And as God's ways are explained to all the nations, to all the peoples, they will be convicted of sin and righteousness and judgment. They will know the ways of the Lord, and they will cause them to be convicted of that and so on. So the Spirit comes at Shavuot. The Spirit is given, immersion in the Spirit, to enable us to know God's ways and to fulfill His purposes to bring the knowledge of God to all the nations of the world. That's the reason for it. This is the immersion of the Spirit. Now, knowing all that, let's look in Acts chapter 2 and let's see what happens. Now, I know this seems a little heady, but let's get to what actually happens here. Acts chapter 2. You see, God had always wanted His ways to be proclaimed to all the nations of the world through the nation of Israel. The problem was, is it never had been. And because Israel had failed in the covenant. Now, what has happened is that the Spirit of God is getting ready to fall upon these disciples to do that very thing. To empower them to take the ways of God to all the nations of the world. That's the point. Because the point of this is to bring the kingdom of God to the whole earth. So that the presence of God and His ways are so pervasive that everything that's even in disharmony in nature will become harmonious. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Let's look and see what it says. When the day of Pentecost or Shavuot came, they were all together in one place. Here's the Feast of Shavuot, 50 days after Yeshua's death on the cross. They're all together in one place because Yeshua said what? He told them to wait. Now let's see what happens. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now notice the illusion, notice the images here that Acts is talking about. There is a blast of a sound, there is fire, right? There is a filling with the Holy Spirit. What does that sound like? That sounds like Mount Sinai, right? When God first gave the first covenant to His people, now the same images are existing at the second covenant, the giving of the new covenant, the same images, and now they speak in other tongues or languages. Now this is very, very important. These were not what we call heavenly tongues, folks. These were languages. These were languages that people could understand that were in their midst. And the reason is because, I know that, is because it says it right here. Now here's what's interesting. Does anybody know, when was the world divided? When was the world really divided? Does anybody know when? Tower of Babel, right? And what happened at the Tower of Babel? Everybody gets a different language, so they can't communicate, right? So there is division. There was a certain level, one could say, of harmony and unity before the Tower of Babel. I mean, yes, there was already sin, so there was strife. But after the Tower of Babel, then there's disharmony and division. Now, it's interesting. Here, all of a sudden, the Scripture says that they begin to speak in other tongues. And now, let's see what happens. Verse 5. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Very interesting. And then look over, jump over to verse 11. It says this, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. What's going on? It's the reversal of the Tower of Babel. God is bringing harmony and unity back to the earth through the wonders of God. Because the problem was at the Tower of Babel, the reason that God had to strike them with different languages was that there was sin and strife, and God did not want unity with strife and sin. But now, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and with the wonders of God, he could unify man again, but through the presence of the Lord, through the power and the presence of the Lord and the knowledge of God would cover the whole earth. Now, the people, as you read a little further here, the people who are hearing these tongues, these languages, are confused. It's like they're going, what's going on here? You know, because they know that all these people are speaking all these languages and they're hearing them, but they don't really understand what's really happening. And so Peter clarifies to them what is going on, and he quotes from another prophet, the prophet Joel. Let's see what the prophet Joel has to say here. We're going to look at in the book of Acts, Acts 2:17. Let's see what Peter says is actually happening here. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, even on my servants. Both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, why? Notice, first of all, the script, verse 17 says, God's Spirit will pour forth on all people. Remember Jeremiah 31? All will know the Lord from the least to the greatest. Now, what's so significant down here? Who can tell me what's so significant about sons and daughters prophesying, men seeing visions, old men seeing dreams? What's so significant about it? Does anybody know? It's not just for select individuals anymore. Because the only people that could prophesy in the Tanakh, in the Old Covenant, were people who were given special dispensations of the Spirit of God, the prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel and so on. They had special visions, and everybody would come to them and would ask them, what is the meaning of this, and what is truth, and all this other kind of stuff. But now it says everybody is going to be able to prophesy, because prophecy is a sign of God's Spirit being upon the individual, and they're speaking forth the promises and the ways of God. And what is the meaning of the new covenant? Is that all people would know him, and they would go out to the nations and proclaim the ways of God to all the people, so that the knowledge of God would cover the sea, would cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The pervasiveness of the knowledge and presence of God would be so great. And so that's what's happening here. Now, notice what it says here in verse 21. It says, who's going to be saved? Everyone. Let's say it together. Everyone. Let's say it again. Everyone. The meaning of Shavuot is that everyone can be saved. See, it was the Spirit of God was given only to the Jewish disciples of Yeshua at that moment, but the gospel message that they were proclaiming was for everyone, because Israel was called to be the priest to all nations to proclaim the ways of God to all the nations. And so now they're getting prepared to fulfill that destiny. Now here's what's significant about it. This is where I'm going to close today. The Jewish people knew this. They knew from the prophet Joel. They knew from other prophets that... What is that? They knew from the prophet Joel and from the other prophets that the sign of the age to come was that when all nations would know and come to know the Lord. And notice what the sign is of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The sign is a supernatural expression of God's ways in every single language. See, the Jewish disciples who suddenly start proclaiming this, they didn't know what Yeshua was talking about when he said, you're going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand what that meant. But everybody understood when they could hear God's ways in their languages, that it was the inauguration of the kingdom of God to the earth, so that all nations would come to know the one and the true God. And so the goal of being... Now, here's the blessing, and this is where I'm going to close today. You see, it continues down to this very day. We can be immersed in God's Spirit because of what Yeshua did. And the purpose of being immersed in the Spirit is to know the Lord, of course, because you can't know God without a Spirit, but to know God's ways intimately and to be able to proclaim those ways to everyone else. To be immersed in the Spirit does not mean to cloister ourselves off and have a Holy Spirit meeting, okay? I mean, I have nothing against... There's a very simple reason why there's strife, why there's racism, why there's murder, why there's problems. It's very simple. It's a very simple reason. It's because the knowledge of God does not cover this city. But when the knowledge of God covers this city, the more people that surrender to the ways of the Lord, the less strife, the less murder, the more harmony, the more peace, the more justice that goes on. And so how is it going to happen, folks? We need to receive all that God has for ourselves and then to go forth. To the Jew first and then to the Gentile. That's the scriptural pattern. And that is the fulfillment of the meaning of this new covenant. Now let me close with this. You can only know the power of God's Spirit, the new covenant, know God's ways, know the truth, be able to proclaim something worthwhile to anyone else only by knowing Yeshua as the Messiah. That is the only way. There is only one way that you can have that. He was the one who inaugurated in the new covenant. He's the one that immerses us in the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us the ability to go forth and do the ways of the Lord. And so let's, on this day, a day and a half before the beginning of Shavuot, let's turn our hearts to the Lord and say, yes, we will be obedient to Him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua right now, Lord, I pray in here for anybody, Lord, that may not know You, that may not have said yes to Yeshua today. Oh, God, this is the day of salvation, Lord. Father, Yeshua came to bring about the new covenant, Lord, so that our sins could be wiped away permanently and removed, so that we could come to know You and that we don't need an intermediary anymore, another human to go through to know the truth, so that we can come directly to You because the Spirit will be in us and that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free, oh God. And Father, Lord, You've given us Your Spirit to go forth in power, oh God, and to be able to explain Your ways to those around about us, to bring about the kingdom of God on this earth, oh Lord. Thank You for the privilege, oh Lord. And Father, we come right now in the name of Yeshua. Anybody here that has never said yes to Yeshua, this is the time to say, yes, I want Him. I want the Messiah in my life. I want the forgiveness of sins. I want to be immersed in the Spirit of God. I want the fullness of God in my life. I want Him to radiate through me so that all I am is a reflection of the glory of God and that others may see that and may be brought in and brought near. And Father, I surrender my heart now in Yeshua's name to Your fullness, O God, and to all that You have and to receive Yeshua as my Messiah on this day. And in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer following the service, please feel free to come forward. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yared Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. And we all said, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. You'll need some people at Oneg, some help down there, and the bookstore will be open as well. Thank you.